Job is a great book. And the reason it's a great book is because there's something wrong in it. And it matches where many people are. So it's very instructive. By the way, there's nothing wrong with Job except a small item. So Job, I would say Job is the perfect Jew. He's the perfect person. If you want to be religious, if you want to be, in every way, modeled in human strength, this guy's it. This guy is the quintessential guy of integrity. He has integrity. This guy has integrity. And most of us don't measure up. We don't have that kind of integrity. So here's what God said. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. So when you hear that, you just feel depressed, really. It's like, well, good for you. Now, this guy did it. I mean, whatever there was to do, he did it. So he's a model. This guy was a model. And, you know, God apparently likes the guy. And so here's somebody that worked hard at being a good guy. And he perfected himself outwardly in such a way that there was no one like him in all the world. He was the top guy. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Now, the word perfect is, do I have a board? Yeah. That word perfect in the Hebrew is tamim. Ta-mim. Okay? Tamim. Now, tamim doesn't really mean perfect. What it means is whole, complete, without any flaw apparent in it. And so when it says perfect and upright, it just simply means, outwardly speaking, this guy did everything right. He conformed perfectly in a whole, complete way. Every once in a while, you and I do something right. Every once in a while, we get it together, and it seems like, you know, everyone appreciates us and so on and so forth. But the truth is, you wouldn't characterize us as perfect and upright. I mean, you could say it kind of like by faith or something, you know. Well, the guy has faith in Jesus, so he's perfect. But that would be imputed. That would be declared. That would be something said that really wasn't true. But basically, because you at least had faith in God, you were declared or imputed or considered righteous. And most of us are satisfied with that, right? I mean, most of us are satisfied. Well, I'm not perfect, but, you know, I mean, I know God loves me. I'm hanging on to that. So I know I'm okay. So most of us feel like we're okay. Am I right? Most of us don't feel like we're perfect. As a matter of fact, most of us feel like you can't even be perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect person. That's just a dream. That's for heaven or something. But on the earth, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody goofs up. Everybody is like a child. You know, they want to do good, and they're trying real hard, but they just keep messing up. So are y'all following me? So when it says Job was perfect and upright, it just simply means, from an outward point of view, this man had integrity. He was, you know, he was sincere when you spoke to him. He didn't have two agendas. His, you know, heart was to serve God, love his fellow man, take care of his kids. He did it all. So he's a good guy. This is a good guy. That's why I want to look at this book this year and depress you. Because I want you to, it takes 39 verses to figure out what his flaw is. It doesn't appear right away. And everybody keeps trying to nail the guy because God sees something in him that is not perfect. Now, nobody else sees it, but God sees it. And as soon as God begins to put this guy in the furnace to check him out, the others come along and say, oh, I know what your problem is. I mean, that is a religious person. How many know that a religious person can judge you? A religious person can see right through you. And you know, thank God we are all gifted with that incredible discernment to know what's wrong with you. I know exactly. I can see. It just takes seconds to see right through you. How many know that we have that gift? It's a great gift of God to be able to ignore our own and be able to find yours. I don't know. It's just a precious thing. It's something very good. Thank God. So that now what this book is going to do is show you that God doesn't consider anyone on earth perfect in the heaven sense. But in the earth sense, of course there are people that have a strong will. They're just strong-willed. Is there anyone here who's strong-willed? Another word would be stubborn. So strong-willed may just simply be you force yourself better than other people. You compel yourself. You have an inward drive to look good, to perform well, for whatever reason. It might be to make money. It might be to please somebody. It might be, you know, whatever. Just feel good about yourself. Not go to hell. Who knows? So some people have a very strong will, and other people have a strong mind. Their mind is like a trap. You know, they're intellectually clear, and they demand of themselves to always stay, you know, clear on every item and every issue. And other people are emotionally dead. You just kill your emotions. That is a great way to function. You're just dead. Why? Because if you get emotional, you get all caught up in life, and it'll mess you up. You'll be nervous. You'll be weak all the time. You'll always be needing something to pep you up, something to protect you, because you can get hurt if you're emotional. How many know that a lot of times people are emotional and then they just lose it? So you learn to be hard after a while and just harden yourself. Just don't listen to your emotions. You know, they're still there, but you bury them. So you might look perfect, appear perfect, but actually there's a flaw inside of you. And there's something missing, but nobody can put their finger on it because you seem strong. This is just for fun. But how many here have kind of a strong personality? Like, you know, you're not easily tough. You know, you're not easily thrown. Yeah, that's good. It's very good. Powerful. It's powerful. That's exciting. Now, how many are weaklings? You just never get it together. You never can pull it off. You know, you just. Two or three. Yeah. How many have lied? Okay, so most of us, you know, we have our moments when we're strong and we try to keep up a good appearance, but we actually fall apart under certain circumstances. You just, you know, lose it. And that's easy to do. Well, here's what needs to be said before we even start this Job thing. Who would want to look at Job for 39 chapters? You know, a guy who's perfect. But then something happens to the guy, and his health goes, his wealth goes, his relationships go. Everything goes on the guy. And so religious persons come along and say this: "Ha, I know what your problem is. God is after you." And Job defends himself. He says, I don't think so. I don't think I've done anything wrong. How many would defend yourself if somebody attacked you? You know, like in marriage, for example. Who are you to say? You know, and so we defend ourselves. We don't like other people attacking us. It's not that we think we're perfect. It's just that we think the guy who's pointing at us isn't perfect either. It's not that we think, you know, hey, we don't have any flaws. Just don't point them out. You got your own problems. Stick to those. You know, mind your own business. And so we resent it when people just take us as a dartboard and begin, you know, attacking us with thoughts or words or whatever. We don't enjoy that. So Job is the kind of guy you can't get. He's flawless, and he will defend himself to the hilt because he's a religious guy. He's a moral guy. He's a nice guy. He's a rich guy. This was the richest man in the East. Nobody had more wealth than this guy. Big family. He had seven sons. One a day. He had a one-a-day deal. He had daughters. He had everything going for him. And You know, so the devil talks to God, and he says, you know, yeah, sure, Job loves you. Of course, he's always going to church, always doing the right thing, and so on and so forth. But don't you think it's for a reason? Don't you think, and this is exactly what we all think, yeah, but don't you think it's for a reason? Take away his wealth, he'll curse you. Take away his health, just touch his body, he'll curse you, he'll turn from you. Take away his relationships. You know, he's all, the only reason he loves you is because you blessed him so much. Just take some of the stuff away. You'll see. He'll turn on you. How many have thought that? You know, you've just thought that. Hey, I don't know if God took away something from me. I don't know. Maybe I'd turn on the guy. Has anybody thought that? You know, the only reason I think I love him is because I love him, but on the other hand, I'm glad he's coming through. Because if he didn't, I might get ticked off. I might get angry. I might get mad. So Job is certain that no matter what happens, Mrs. Job, now she's weak. Because Mrs. Job, all of a sudden all this thing happened in one day, just the whole world falls apart on him. He had it made. And then all of a sudden things go bad, and her response is really cool. Just curse God and die. Cut this religious junk out. No, honey, sweetheart, God giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he was so pious. He was so religious. He was so together. The guy was so theological, so in control. But that was just the first day. But her nagging at him, her. How many know that nagging wives can get to you? And she eventually got to him. The guy was strong, but, you know, she kept beating him down like, God, just cut the stuff out. Just curse God and die. Let's get this thing over with. We've lost our kids. We've lost our wealth. Look at your health. You're sick. The whole thing stinks. Let's just admit it. I like Mrs. Job. She is cool. She is so real. But Job, he's fake. He's telling all about God. And I know he believes this. I mean, I know he's not fake, but I don't know. Don't you get tired of people that are always together and they're always looking pious and so on? Because it really embarrasses you. I'm not like that at all. I'm a fall apart Mrs. Job type. You know, just, well, that didn't work. Fooey on it. You know, throw it away, cast it away. So you kind of wonder, well, what would happen if I went through that? That's why nobody wants to read this book. What would happen if I lost everything in a day? If I lost, you know, my relationships? If I lost my health? If I lost my wealth? If I lost everything that matters to me in this earth? And I know there's only God, but really I also like the stuff down here. But what if I lost all the stuff down here and I had nothing? And I was naked. I was left with nothing. Well, then what I do? Y'all looking blankish. You know, what would you do? What would you do if you lost everything in this world that counts, that matters, that shows that there's a good God, that shows that life is worth living? You just come to the point of, you know, I'll kill myself, or, you know, I'm certainly not going to be a Christian anymore, or not going to love God. But Job hung in there. He would not yield. He would not bend. He would not break. This guy stuck it out to the end. And you admire people like this. It's like, well, I probably wouldn't have done it, but thank God for Job. I mean, there he is. And he had some friends that attacked him day in and day out. Now, look, Job, now here's the deal. And they would try to explain to him, if you're so righteous, how come all this has happened? Come on. Why does it happen? It happens to the wicked. You're wicked. You just don't want to admit it. There's something in each of us that doesn't want to admit that we're wicked deep down. Hello? Hello? Are you all, you know? There's something in us that doesn't want to admit that basically I'm a wicked, selfish, nasty, boring, dull, you know, ungodly type person. I know what you're supposed to be, but I'm not what I'm supposed to be. I'm what I am. And I don't like looking at that all the time, so you kind of blur the thing over and keep busy, and hopefully you have enough wealth and health and relationships that you just kind of go through life and not have to face the depth of something is, how can the righteous suffer? How could you be righteous? How could you be one of God's favorites and then all hell breaks loose? How can that be? It's a deep question for mankind. And it's addressed probably in no other book as deeply and as sharply as Job. Job is, it barely made it into the Bible. This is a tough book. It's one that you know is really good literature, but maybe it shouldn't be in the Bible because it's depressing. It's 39 chapters. You have to wait till the very end to see how it turns out okay. So what happens as you work through this thing, you're kind of amazed because when you hear what his friends say, you think, well, that's wrong. And then you think, nah, that's a pretty good point right there. And you don't really know if those guys are bad or good. It's kind of like church. It's real hard to figure out. You think there might be something wrong with the church, but you're not exactly sure. You think, well, maybe they have it right, but I'm not sure. And so religion is difficult to figure out, mostly because of the people that are in it. I mean, God's okay. He's perfect. He's good. He's loving. He's kind. He's all those wondrous things. But the people who are his followers, his believers, they look kind of like everybody else. They go to church, and so that's different. They have to give up some of their income, so that's a little different. But religious people have always done that. So what is Christianity all about? What is life all about? What is God? Who is really God? Is he just wanting us to shape up like Job and be a perfect guy and not have any fun? I don't think Job was a funny guy. I don't think he had a sense of humor. I don't know, maybe he did, but there's no jokes in here. This thing is pretty serious. I mean, you have boils on your body. You can't sleep at night. I mean, it's a hell of a life. And then you have all your wealth gone. You're the wealthiest guy, and suddenly you're broke. I mean, everything has been destroyed. And the enemy has just taken over everything. Terrorists are everywhere. All your kids are dead. You know, your grandkids. Everything is ruined. That's hard. It's hard to recover from such a thing. I don't know. If you could just have one of those, it would be bad. But to have all three happen and all at once, it's a tough deal. But a religious guy can still praise God. How many know you can, as a religious person, you can praise God no matter what? Well, regardless, I still trust in God. How many know that? I don't know. I don't know if I would or not. I don't know. I really don't know. Till you're put to the test, you don't know. But a lot of little tests tell me I might not be as perfect as this guy. I might not be as religious. I might not, if I weren't the pastor, I don't know if I'd always come to church. And one of the reasons I do, I get paid to do it. And so I have to do it. It's my job. And I certainly wouldn't sit on the front row. You know, I'd be sitting way in the back and so on and so forth. You guys are smart way back there. You know, you can always escape, get out. Nobody can notice you going out. But, you know, this Job guy, he's perfect. He does everything right. Now let's read it. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So that's quite a crew. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, by the way, I don't want to discuss all this, but everyone doesn't know when this book was written. They don't know who wrote it. They don't know how it was written. Some say Moses wrote it. Some say, you know, it's written later in the king's time and so on. Nobody knows, so let's not worry about that. We just read it as it is, as it's presented, and not worry about those interesting questions. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So all 10 of them, on one day a week, gathered with the eldest, the youngest, and so on and so forth. They all gathered every day to make offerings, sacrifices, for all the goodness that God had given them. I mean, aren't you grateful when God has blessed you? I mean, just living in Dallas, isn't it? You know, just think of living in Fort Worth, see? What a blessing just to live in Dallas. They're just things to be grateful for. And so you thank God. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. He rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them, all. So 10 different offerings for his 10 kids, for his wife, you know, I don't know who all. But whatever it was, he had plenty of sheep and oxen and everything. So he was always sacrificing something to show, this is a good guy. This is basically a decent guy. This is the kind of guy you want as a neighbor. He's just reliable, solid, you know, pillar of, you know, salt of the earth. Great guy. You know, there's no flaws on the guy. It may be, Job said, that my sons have sinned. Maybe they've cursed God in their hearts. So I'll make a sacrifice to sanctify them. So every day, he not only took care of himself, and his, but he took care of all his kids and all their family. And every day he was showing such concern. Great parent, great husband, great, you know, it's great in every way. Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Now, there are not many books in the Bible, in the Old Testament particularly, where Satan shows up as himself. You know, so here the guy comes, and here it is, just right out in plain sight. It's not a developed deal. Every once in a while, his name shows up. But the devil is always out there. I mean, a lot of people don't believe in the devil, but here's the devil. He just shows right up. And it's great. It's a great story. The devil used to be an angel of light. He used to be one of God's closest associates. But then he fell away in pride and so on and so forth. Who knows why? It doesn't explain why. But for some reason, he messed up and took about a third of the angels with him. So he must have been a pretty impressive leader. But he was able to draw away a third of the church, a third of the good angels, a third, you know, and they went sour on God. Have you ever feared that might happen to you? You're a good guy all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden you go down the drain. You just go the opposite way. Well, that happened to Satan. And here's what Satan said. And the Lord said to Satan, where do you come from? Where have you been? What you been up to? Because he used to come all the time. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. See, that's where I ended up, you know. So I'm kind of an earth guy now. I used to be up here in heaven with you, but now I don't make reports anymore. You don't want to see me in the office, so I'm downstairs. So he was demoted. No Peter principle here. He went down to the bottom. And so he says, well, I've been going to and fro among the earth and watching your people. How many know that the world watches the people of God? I'm checking out everybody. I'm checking out life. I'm just checking things to see how it is. And I've got a report. I know I haven't made a report, but you just asked me for one. I'm going to give you one. And the Lord said to Satan, well, have you considered my servant Job? And it's like, it's cool. Because, you know, Satan knows about him because he's rich. He's powerful. He's wise. He's a good family man. He's, you know, everybody knows about this guy, Job. He was the greatest man in the East. Everybody knew about him. It's not a private person. He is a very public person. Have you considered my servant, Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Eschews is not a word we use anymore, but it just means refuses to be evil. He turns away from evil. He forswears, I'm not going to be evil. Not going to do it. How many here have made that decision? Okay, I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to do the wrong stuff. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to be carnal. And I'm going to do it right. Now, how many know you get hurt when you do that? You know, sometimes it's better to cheat, lie a little bit, because you get hurt. If you follow, do always what's right, you might get hurt. Have you ever noticed that with people that always do right? And then God doesn't always come through and back them up. Sometimes cheater people get away with murder. I mean, they do better than the Christians, you know. And so a lot of times people will, you know, be righteous, forswear to do evil. They eschew evil. They're not going to do it. But sometimes you're tempted. I think I'll swear here a little bit. I think I'll speed a little bit. I think I'll cheat here a little bit. I think I'll say, it's hard to stay pure and clean. How many here have tried that? And it's not easy. Because a lot of times there's no reward for it. A lot of times the guy who cheats gets the reward. The guy who does it right. I mean, so often there's a city like Dallas, there's a lot of corruption here. Sometimes it pays to be corrupt, pay off, and so on and so forth. And that's just the way things are done. So you have a double standard, one that you profess and another one that you actually follow. Did I touch anybody? Okay, just wanted you to know there are some people like that. And I myself, if I weren't a Christian, that's exactly what I'd do. I'd live a totally double life. One that my wife would, you know, see, and another one that I actually lived. Did I scandalize you? But the truth is that everybody's tempted to do that. And really, someone who refuses to do that is usually a fool. Because if you wanted to be the president of the United States, but you didn't have any money and any friends, you're not going to make it just because you're a good guy. Nobody cares. You know, I'm honest, I have integrity, and so on. That means nothing. It's just who's got the dough, who knows how to, you know, do whatever you have to do to win. That's what Dallas is made out of. So it's hard to go the right way, to be perfect and upright in every way. It just doesn't always pay. Doesn't pay to be right. In my mind it does, but in reality it always doesn't. So a lot of you have cheated a little bit. You've compromised a little bit. Well, quite a bit. How many have done so? Okay, the rest of you are lying. Because everybody's tempted to, you know, not praise God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, not love my neighbor as myself and so on. We just tend to excuse ourselves. Well, and you know, in that case, look what you did. That's why I did that. And we explain why we did it. But the truth is, you just did wrong. That's all. You just couldn't hang in there like Job. Here's the guy to watch, right here, Job. So God said to him, hey, have you checked out my good guy? I got one, you know. Got one. I got him. Did you check him out? And here's what the devil says. Then Satan answered the Lord, and he said, well, doth Job serve God for nothing? You know, you think he's following you because he really loves you and wants to do right? Don't you think there's a reason? Don't you think he has a hidden motive? Don't you think he's doing it because it pays? How many know that when you do wrong, sometimes you get bad consequences? How many know that if you live openly wrong consistently, you get caught after a while? Someone figures out what you're doing, and Enron and, you know, Abramoff and all this stuff. You get caught after a while, even though you're pulling it off and everybody's agreeable and so on, but then some turkey will turn you in. Somebody is going to find out about it. Some enemy that you have who's jealous of you, doesn't like all your power and influence and so on, they'll turn you in. And you can blow them off for a while because you got a lot of friends in high places, but after a while they can get to you. So it does kind of pay, it seems. If you're going to be evil, don't do a lot of it, and don't do it real consistently. At least don't get caught at it, but try to hide it. Now, I know I'm not reaching everybody because I can tell by your face you're kind of struggling with this. But the truth is, everybody's tempted to go their own way, to protect themselves, to preserve their life, their self, their reputation, their name. And, you know, God is invisible, and sometimes we don't even know if the guy's there. God, you sure you're watching out over me? I think I did right. Where's your side come through? God, do you think Job serves you for nothing? Do you think he's good for nothing? How many are good for nothing? I mean, good for nothing. So, you know, it's like, well, sure, you're good because your mother was, or because you're still pleasing your father, or because, you know, you get business or whatever. There are reasons that we don't like to admit always. We try to hide them, but there are reasons why we do what we do. And they're not always godly. Sometimes they're ungodly. Sometimes they're out of fear. A lot of people come to church out of fear. Just don't want to go to hell. Don't want to, you know, want to appear to be something they're not, and so on. So we don't know what people's motives are. We only know our own. But our own are not always pure, but if we stay busy enough, we don't have to look at them. If you stay alcoholed up, you don't have to look at them. If you dope yourself up, you can distract yourself from looking close at yourself because there are things that are hidden in your closet that you don't want to notice. Things you've said, things you've done, things you've thought that, you know, you just hope doesn't come out in the open. I do. At least I'm like that. I have things I've thought that are not for publication. I have things I've said that Peggy knows about, and I've told her, don't tell. Don't say anything. There are things I've done that are regrettable. I mean, they're shameful. They're not Christian. Is anybody like me? Everybody's like me. That's the sad thing. You're not a Job. I'm not a Job. I need this Jesus guy because I'm a mess up. And, Job had it all together. Even God boasted on the guy, told Satan, hey, what do you think of my guy? I love Satan because he's right there with the truth. Just told the truth. You think Job serves you for nothing? Don't you think he's after something? Don't you think he wants something? You know, hasn't he been bribed? Has not thou made an hedge about him? You know, I'd like to get at the guy, but you hedge him about his house, about all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So Satan is telling God, you know what? You've given him more than others. Other men curse you because you haven't given them as much. The reason some people don't love you is because you weren't nice to them. Putting the blame on God. And sometimes people will say that of me or of you perhaps. They say, well, you know, everything goes your way all the time. Everything turns out good for you because, you know, you're a nice guy and somehow God favors you. So, but, you know, if you experienced what I experienced, you might not be criticizing me or thinking, looking down on me or whatever, because you don't know what I've been through. You ever think that or know someone who thinks that way? A lot of times people feel, well, sure, you're okay because everything's going your way. You know, you're born right, or, you know, luck happened or something. Somehow you made it, so that's why you're happy. But if you went through the hell I went through, you'd turn on God. You wouldn't follow God. I mean, that's what the divorce will do. Loss of relationship. You know, it'll just deflate you. It's a violent act. And I don't know what happened there. What happened? What did I do wrong? You know, it's like, for me, I would never have been surprised that Peggy take it off. You know, I would have taken it off right off if I were her. I'm an abusive person. Is anybody abusive like I am? I'm not geared to social skills and stuff like that. I'm geared to just say like it is. And so I would have taken off, but she didn't because she's a masochist. You didn't want to hear that. Okay, because I married somebody that was abuse-proof. I figured out, let's see, I think that person can stand a lot of heat, you know, because a lot of people are weaker. But, you know, when she would criticize me, I know she'd have to criticize herself after for criticizing me, because that was wrong, because she's moral. I'm immoral, she's moral. So that was good for a moral person to be married to an immoral person, because then the moral person gets to judge the immoral person, and the immoral person gets to be judged, but the immoral person doesn't care because he's immoral. That was me. So, you know, I really didn't care. You know, just the hell with it all. So that was my attitude before I became a Christian, was I really don't care. So to me, being married to me is a great thing if you don't look real close. If you look real close, it's probably not. And so I figured she was hung up so much on her own stuff, she might not, you know, pay a lot of attention to what I was doing. Job was a perfect guy, not like me. You know, it's perfect. And Job wasn't complaining. Job, even God was saying, go ahead, test him. Put him to the test. Go ahead, put him through the fire. I tell you, he won't turn. And the devil said, thank you. You're giving me permission. You're giving me permission to take away his wealth. I mean, I don't want just a few bucks. I want to take him down. Yeah, go ahead. He still loves me. Yeah, well, okay. How about if I touch his relationships, his kids? I mean, he's deep into his kids. What if I touch his children? That'll hurt him, and it will. God says, okay, I give you permission. Okay, wait. All right, let me touch his body. Let me touch his body. You know, if a man has his health, he might be able to sustain something. But what if he loses his health? I'm telling you, he will not keep this religion up. His religion will go out the window. His morals, his rationality, he'll go insane. When you're sick, sometimes you lose your balance. You lose your, I mean, that can so focus you. Older people particularly, all they ever talk about is how sick they are. You know, my wife's starting to be like that, you know. Constantly talk about it. Peg, we're only in our 60s. You're talking like you're 80 already. You're like my mother. It's just, you know, it's always, you know, this sickness or that sickness and so on. How many know that that's one of the things that happens to old people? And they just always, don't ever ask them the question, how's it going? Because they'll tell you, I'm so glad you asked. And they just have lots to say about that. You know, how is, you know, if you knew the name of a certain medicine, you could discuss that with them for hours. They have tables full of these things. And hello. Life is fun. You don't want to take it too seriously. This guy Job, he was a serious guy. Serious guy. So he said, have you not made a hedge around him? But put forth thine hand now. Now the devil doesn't have the power. Watch this. The devil doesn't have the power to destroy him. The devil had to ask God to put forth your hand. That's interesting. So you're always dealing not with the devil. He's a weakling. You're dealing with God. The devil's nothing. You could give him permission, but you'll have to go through God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, it's only if it works out, if God approves. So God says, no, I have no problem. He's a good man. I know he loves me. This man is one of my favorite guys. Yeah, go ahead, test him. But don't touch his life. Leave him alive. Let him suffer, but leave him alive. Do you all hear this? Now, it wasn't done that way with Jesus. Let him suffer and kill him. But with Job, no. That his death won't count. Here's the thing. Go ahead, cause him suffering, but don't touch his life. I want him after it's all done. So this is God, seemingly, it's a story. It's a real story, but it's a story. Seemingly, he's saying, take everything he's got, and all he'll have left is me, and see whether or not I'm not totally fulfilling to him. Would you all like to be in that situation? This would be, you know, it's something to think about. Something to think about. God, if you took away my health, if you took away my wealth, if you took away my relationships, if I had nothing but you, would I be content? How many would be totally happy, content? Good. Good people. You didn't lie. Because none of us would be. You know, God, if you touched that, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know if I'd be, you know, still smiling like I am now. I think I might be morose, depressed, angry, mad, bitter, sarcastic, ironic. I don't think I could carry on like I am now. I myself don't. You know, I can think if you touch certain things in my life, I don't know what I would do. You know, I believe in God, but I also believe in God plus. You know, God plus children, wife, church, you know, some income and so on and so forth. I don't know if I'd praise God if I had nothing, but I say it. I say it. I profess it with my mouth. All I need is God. You know, just having God is all there is. The truth is, if you touch certain things, I don't know what I would do. Y'all following me? You know, don't have to worry about it. You got to examine yourself. But what I'm saying is, I don't know. I think I'd still love God, but I don't know. If you know, if you persecuted me and a lot of bad stuff happened, I don't know what I'll be a Buddhist. You know, I don't know what I'll say. You know, I'll believe in Al-Qaeda. You know, I don't know what I'd say if they started, you know, torturing me and whatnot. I might just give up Jesus. Probably not in my heart, but I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Nah, I wouldn't give him up. Nah, of course not. Okay, so you got to know who you are, and the only way to find out is go through the test. It's depressing. I told you it'd be depressing. But, nevertheless, it's good to think about. You know why? Because you're going to think about it anyway. deep down, you're going to think about it. And so I just want, I just want to put you through the kind of talk test today. We're just talking about it. We're not doing it. We're just talking about it. What if, you know, you lived in Fort Worth? I mean, just think about it. What if you didn't live here? So you got to, you got to face reality. Sometimes things like that happen. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day. Now, that means it didn't happen on that very day. There was a day, and here it is, when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Now, if you're Jewish, you can have wine. If you're Baptist, you have grape juice. But this was a Jewish household, so they were having wine. They were feasting. They were having a good time. They were celebrating. This you guys have a little bit of laughter. So here the wine is, you know, is a good thing. The Germans call it Gemütlichkeit. You know, he's having you know, a good time. Germans basically are very serious type people, but, you know, get a little beer and cheese in them, they're okay. A little umpapa, and they're all right. They loosen up. Everybody has that. There are just things you need to do to kind of get yourself in the mood to disengage from life and its business and the seriousness of it. And there was a messenger that came to Job, and he said, "The oxen were plowing, the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon us, took them away. Yes, they have slain your servants with the edge of the sword, and I am the only one that escaped to tell you." Oh, my gosh. So he just lost part of his vast wealth. He just lost it. The Sabaeans came, slew his servants and all of his cattle and his source of wealth. In this part of the world, land was a great source of wealth. So he just suddenly lost, you know, I've lost it. The Sabaeans took the land, they killed the people, took the cattle, everything's gone. And I'm the only one left to tell you. It's not really good news, sorry, but here it is. "And while he was yet speaking, there came another also and said, 'The fire of God has fallen.'" How many know that if things go wrong, you have to finally say, "God." "So the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up thy sheep, thy servants, consumed them. And I'm the only one escaped to tell you." So the guy just barely finished with his thing, and another guy walks in. Now, Job is clueless. God did not clue him in. And by the way, I might be testing you in the next week or so. He didn't tell him. He didn't tell him. How many know that sometimes it just comes out of the blue? All of a sudden, you're just going along like Israel today. Israel just bumping along, you know, feeling like, you know, we got them a little at bay, and right now things are going to be okay. We've had a few troubles, a few bombings. We got some walls built up, you know, and they're kind of trying to secure themselves in their land, but their young people are leaving. The water is running out. The economy is in the drain. Tourism is number one. So Israel is about to experience, that's nothing compared to what's about to happen. And a lot of Israelis today are feeling this. And I believe this is going to be a bad year for them. I believe that not the stuff, little bombs here and there and so on. I'm thinking major stuff could happen to this nation. The enemy has more kids. They have more weapons. And there's a crazy guy in Iran that actually thinks he's the Antichrist. He really believes. He's read the Bible. And even though he's a Muslim, he's the head guy. He feels like, "I'm the guy that's going to bring in the Armageddon, the last deal, and put these Jewish people off the face of the earth. I mean, it's my calling from Allah." Isn't that neat? You don't think that's neat? No. Because it's going to be hell for the Jewish people. So that's why I'm going to take a tour October 15 through the 25th, about 10 days. So if anyone would like to sign up, very good. Praise God. It's good. Anyone else would like to go? I want to go because I actually believe something's going to happen there, and I want to express my love personally, but our love, and we already have several dozen people that are going, and it should be a powerful statement to them. I'm just going to tell you right now, talk is nothing, But going, spending your money, taking your time to tell them, I love you, to identify with them in their trouble. Now, it doesn't matter if there's no trouble. Then it's just collect tour, you know, money. But if you're going not for the tour, because you're going at a time when tourism is off, way off, people just don't want to go anymore. And if things begin to rattle, then, you know, so all of a sudden in a day, your destiny can go down the drain. All of a sudden, you know, all your friends are gone. The Europeans no longer like them. Some of the Americans don't like them. And just they've lost all their pals and friends. And their enemies are growing stronger, more determined than ever. So it can happen. Things can change quickly. While he was yet speaking, another one came and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, fell upon the camels, have carried them away. Yes, and they've slain your servants with the edge of the sword, and I'm the only one left. So the one guy is speaking, immediately another guy comes in, and immediately another guy comes in. I mean, this is, how many know that sometimes troubles come in groups like that? They just one thing after another. It's like, my God, I can't take two troubles in a day, three troubles. And this guy just overwhelmed. He was right on top. He was the top guy. He had everything going for him. God up in heaven liked him. Earth was for him. He had everything made. An upright and perfect man. Now all of a sudden, everything begins to go on him. And nothing's going to be left. Nothing's going to be left. While he was yet speaking, there came another. And he said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. If there was a safe house to be in, it would be the eldest brother. This man is a favorite of God. The eldest brother is going to take after his daddy and so on and so forth. Well, they were all gathered together. Here's what happened. And the four corners, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and the four corners of the house fell upon the young men, and they are all dead. And I am the only one escaped to tell you. This is amazing. This guy's now lost everything. This is the worst, the thing you could fear the most. What if you had a fear in you that all that I have could be lost? Well, that would take away your enjoyment. It would take away your comfort. Is, yeah, I got all this going for me, but what if? You ever had one of those? I mean, just a little thought just comes in. Ah, that'll never happen. The market's up, you know, this and that and so on and so forth. Had this in the family for generations. My health is still good. I've never been sick a day in my life. You know, you can get confident because you've got so many props to lean on that even if one or two went, you could still make it. But what if they all started falling quickly and all of a sudden you find yourself, and this has happened, you find yourself without any props. What do you do? That's exactly what the devil said. You know, you do that, the Bible belt would turn on you. You know, those Christians that follow you today, the health and wealth and the, you know, how God is great and so on and so forth, it's only because they got a lot of stuff. But take it away, and then what will they do? Take away their health, you know, then what will they do? Put them to the test. Test them in the fire. That's God. And here's God. This is our God, the loving God, the loving God, the one that loves us. He goes to the devil. Yeah, it's okay. Touch him. Yeah, go ahead. Put him to the test. God is confident that Job's going to make it. But if that was you, if that was me, how much confidence could he have? I don't know, God. I mean, if you disrupt our whole civilization, if you disrupt, let's say you lived in Russia at the turn of the century, and all of a sudden the Tsar is gone, the whole way of life, you know, used to be joyful and lovely for those on top, and all of a sudden everything's topsy-turvy, and it all turns to terror and chaos. Well, that couldn't happen here, thank God. We're a Christian nation. We're a powerful people. How many know? God favors us. We've even got songs. God bless America. You know, there's no way, because we got from sea to shining sea and all that stuff. But how many know that you personally could experience a challenge, and you don't have the strength. You don't have the, where is God? How come he isn't coming through? God, come through. Where are you? Remember me, your favorite. How many times did I read my Bible? Huh? How many tithes did I give? Yeah. Okay, count it up. Be here. I'm relying on you. Hey, I did for you many days. How nice I was so many times. I could have been nasty, but I was nice. Come through. How many know that God's not a bargainer? He might be just there, up there eating grapes, not paying attention to what's going on. What? You have a phone call here, you know. What? It's me. Get down here. How many have a direct line to God? God, did you see it? I don't know if you noticed. Look on the news. I sent up some faxes. Did you not get them? Things are going bad down here. Get down here. Roll up your sleeves. How many know that you have a God that'll hasten? Because this is in the Bible. It's written down there. Call upon me right early and I'll be there kind of thing. But, you know, you get in trouble and you call upon him and it sometimes it gets worse. I mean, you go through the, okay, well, maybe it's my fault. Maybe I didn't pray loud enough. God! You know, that doesn't help. Okay, maybe I didn't pray soft enough. God, you know. And so we try all kinds of things, but sometimes God just doesn't come through. It's like he's on vacation. Has anybody experienced that? Sometimes when things are going like hell, and you call on heaven, okay, God, I'm serious now. I'm serious, dead serious. Okay, come through now. You know, and then you think, well, maybe he remembered my bad days. Maybe he's not going to listen to me because I've been naughty too often. I mean, that could throw you. But you work it all through. Okay, God, okay, I admit all that, but come through right now because you're just about to lose everything here. Pay attention. This is serious now. All right, I'm serious. You're serious. We're both serious. You know, God just still munching away on his grapes up there, paying attention. He's not looking. How many have had that kind of a God? Or at least you feared that you might have a God like that. Well, that was Job. Job had that fear. Now, it doesn't come out in the book until way at the end. But Job actually had a small fear because all religious people have this fear. What if I do everything right and God blesses me, but then all of a sudden, even though I'm still doing everything right, something goes wrong? Did you ever have that fear? What if, you know, because the older I get, the more kind of I begin to relax a little bit, like, well, I've made it this far. I'm not in jail. I'm not dead. And I'm not sick as a dog yet. My pipes are starting to wear out and stuff like that, but I'm you know, it's okay. I keep patching them up. But basically, what if the last few years of my life could go south? There's a lot of things could happen, especially the older you get. There's a lot of things could happen. But I've always been kind of a happy-go-lucky, positive, optimistic, confident kind of person. Ah, you know, c'est la vie, everything's fine. It'll all work out. Ah, you just need to have faith in God and so on. So I'm a positive person. How many know you've never seen me depressed, ever? Nobody. Nobody. My wife has never seen me depressed. Nobody's ever seen me depressed because I'm not depressed. I'm always on top. I'm always confident. You know, I'm just always, God is good. Praise him, so on and so forth. So a lot of negative things come, I just blow them off. But what if? What if? And that Job had that little bitty fear. What if I serve God and he doesn't come through? What if he allows me to go through the test that other people have had? How many know that your life is not as bad as somebody else's? I mean, there's always somebody you could look at and think, well, thank God I didn't have to go through that. Jeez, I don't even want to be around that person. I don't even want to hear because I don't know what I'd do. I mean, some people have a sad story. Amen? So I like to come to Dallas. You know, it's a nice, upbeat, confident. This is a great place. You know, can do, that kind of thing. But you go to Fort Worth, it's kind of depressing, you know. There's a lot of just blue-collar blues there, and they're just, you know, well, you know, if had a better job, you know, and that kind of thing. And so, you know, you don't want to live there too often. That's why I come here. It's a great relief. But, you know, going back there, people aren't quite so excited all the time. The Basses, you know, they have a lot of money over there, but they have 12-foot wall. You can't even see what's going on inside their house. But in Dallas, everybody, no fence, no nothing. You just look right in. They want to show you what they have. Hey, looky here. God knows that you have that little fear that what if there really isn't a God? Or what if there is a God, but he really doesn't like me? Or he really isn't good. Or he really is good, but he isn't powerful. Did you ever have those fears? What if he's good, but he's not powerful enough to make the good happen for you? Or what if he's powerful, but he's not really good? That's Job's question. That's the fear that Job, the religious guy, the moral guy, the good guy, the guy that's got everything going for him, that's Job's fear. Now, we know the truth. The truth is, praise God. Praise God, no matter what. In all circumstances, praise the Lord. You've learned that. I've taught you how to do that. No matter what comes up, do it. But the fear is still there. What if? What if? What if? But I want to read this book, because if there ever was a book that addressed this issue, it's this book right here. Here's the book that nobody wants to read. I'm telling you, nobody likes this book. Even the book of Revelation is preferable to this book. Because this book is about a guy who did everything right and then everything wrong happened. And how, you know, they were trying to figure out what was wrong. What didn't the guy do? What if you're good and it doesn't pay? What if you're good and it doesn't pay? I mean, why pray if God doesn't come through? He said he's going to come through, but I prayed and he didn't come through. I even fasted, and now I'm hungry. And he still isn't coming through. And I fasted for 10 days, you know. And he still, I used to do that. I would fast these long periods of time, and I would think, okay, I'll devote myself to God during this 10-day fast. And all I thought about was making a cookbook when I got done. You know, I couldn't think of God. I'm trying to concentrate on God. And I'm just thinking, man, you know. And I knew you're not supposed to think about food. And that's all I could think about. Isn't that terrible? I mean, every once in a while, you know, I'd have a pure thought, but it just would go away quickly. Man cannot perfect himself. You're weak. And you just have to admit afterward is, you know, I probably praised him to get something. I used to praise God because I'd heard about it. Praise God all the time. And I thought, that's a stupid idea, but, you know, hey, why not? I'll try it. I'll try it, see if it works. So I praise God, and sure enough, things happened. And I thought, by golly, I got the ticket. You just praise God, and everything goes your way. Have a positive attitude, upbeat, you know. So I just started praising God. Storms would, you know, seem to turn, and, you know, I'd go out and, you know, hallelujah, God, storm, go over here to the IRS office or something. You know, I'd send them somewhere. And you know, it seemed to work pretty good. Has that ever happened to any of you? It's childish, but still. It's real. But anyway, I just learned after a while that a lot of times I was just praising him to get something. You know, maybe that'll turn the wife around or turn this bad situation around. And so it's just a kind of a game I was playing. But deep down we have this fear. That was Job's problem. Job actually wasn't perfect. He was only outwardly perfect. He religiously, outwardly, externally, he had developed himself, strong will, clear mind, happy emotions, basically controlled himself beautifully. So how can you tell the difference between someone who's just psychologically controlling themselves, behaviorally modifying themselves, and someone who's truly spiritually in love with Jesus? There's a difference between someone who's dead to this world and someone who just says he's dead, someone who just professes that, no, all I need is Jesus. I mean, I've said that a million times easily. I say it all the time. Every day, in fact, I say it every day. God is good. God is great. And I mean it. I'm serious. I'm sincere about that. But still, that doesn't mean the doubt is gone. Yeah, but what if? Yeah, but what if? You never know. So a little fear can steal in. And I know some of you, maybe three of you might have that fear. Could you raise your hands? We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I really knew there was more than three. But that fear can steal away. How many know that perfect love casts out all fear? Well, not my perfect love, but his perfect love. But where is he? What does that love mean? What is love if he doesn't come down? What is love if he doesn't act on my behalf? What is God if I leave him upstairs and he's safe and I'm down here in hell? I'm down here in trouble. I'm down here in difficulty, and he don't come through. What is God? How is God love if he doesn't ever act? If he doesn't ever do anything? I know he's got a reputation because I could read it in the book. But what if, in my case, he doesn't come through? Will I be a phony and a fake and just say all this stuff but not really mean it? Because I want to experience him myself. I want personally to believe that God loves me because he says he does. I want to see the evidence of it. I want to see some fruit for that. I don't want to just read it in the Bible. I don't want to just read it in the Bible. Y'all following what I'm saying? Now, God, you say all this stuff. I don't know why you wrote all this and did all this, apparently, if you're not going to do it for me. What kind of God are you? Would you really turn me over to the devil and let the devil test me and take away this and take away that? There's a fear in us that says he would. There's a fear in all of us that said, well, what if God just abandons me and lets the devil just beat the tar out of me and I pray and he doesn't answer, he doesn't come through. And that's what his friends were saying to him. Hey, Job, if you just confess your sins, you just get right with God, you know what? You just admit it. You aren't really the Christian you said you were. When you are going through hell and God isn't coming through, everyone is judging you. Even your closest friends. Even though they hear all your talk, they don't believe you because they think you must have done something wrong. Yeah, well, why is that happening if you didn't do anything wrong? I tell you, to be judged like that is lonely. You're isolated and alone. And you're thinking to yourself, you know what they're saying, I'm beating it off, but I wonder myself, where are you? How real are you? Maybe you're not real. I mean, I've just never thought about that. Maybe there ain't a God. Maybe he's not real. That's why Job is not a fun book to read, because this guy is wrestling with all of this, and it's coming out. And so here's how it ends up. Then Job arose, rent his clothes, shaved his head, fell down on the ground, and worshiped God. I don't know if I'd do that. I don't know. That's cool for a first day. I don't know if I'd do it on the second or third day. I'd get tired of it after a while. So here's Job. Thank God. You know, he lost all his kids. He lost all his wealth. He lost everything. And then he falls down on the ground, shaves his head, rents his clothes, naked. He's down there. God, I worship you. I'll tell you, this is a good man. This is a good man. I don't know if it's me. This is a good man. And here's what he said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked. I will return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is religion to the hilt. There is religion to the hilt. That you'd have to, if you saw a guy like that and you looked out your window and saw him doing it, you say, that man is close to God. I couldn't do that if I were that man. And the world would agree with you. Now, there's a real guy. Until you read the rest of the book. So you read the rest of the book, the guy finally becomes real. He is not real. Religious people often are not real. I'm not saying anybody here, but I'm talking about the Methodists, Presbyterians. But religious people are often fake, phony, not real. You cannot tell who you are until you get tested. It's only after you're tested that you can find out. And of course, at the end of the book is good. We're going to get there. It's good at the end. But you have to go through hell. I don't trust people that haven't gone through hell. I don't trust businessmen that always win. I want to find out if Ross Perot failed 70 times before he made it, which he did. You can trust someone like that because they know. It didn't always go the way it's going now. A lot of the wealth today that comes from this area came from some grandfather who's dead already, who was a wildcatter who just happened to make it, but lived a dissolute life, a tough life, a rough life. His son went to Harvard or Yale, and the grandson just drives red cars into the, you know, Louisiana and gambles away. That's typical of Dallas and Fort Worth. Not atypical. That's typical. That, you know, it isn't what it appears to be. So how are you going to make it through life? Where does God fit in with your life? We've been blessed for years. But how many know there's a little fear then? You know, what if? What if Al-Qaeda? Or what if you know, this or what if that? And now that Russia's gone, got a new one. And how many know there'll always be a new one? If it isn't without, it's within. You know, it doesn't make any difference. In the world, you have trouble. So how are you going to deal with it? And how could you say God is good? And how could you be happy day in and day out? Read the end of the book. You got to read the end of the book. But what the end of the book is going to tell you is this. You need to be tested. You need to be tested. God wants you to be tested. Now, how many want a severe test to get it over with right away? How many want a mild test? And how many would want just a verbal test? It's kind of an oral exam, you know. How many want the severe test? Because you're, I mean, tough, strong, real Christian. Could take it. How many can take it? Hey, that's cheating. He cheated. He just cheated. He wants Jesus to go through the test. Let's see what happens to Jesus. It's exactly the story. What he just said is actually the case. You're not going to go through any test. If you do go through the fire, he will be with you. If he's not with you, he's no good. He's not the kind of God who just talks. If he's a talk God, he's worthless. We want a God that's real. We want a God that blesses. Now, you know the end of the story already, how Job got back everything twice as much as what he had. But he also, something happened during the test. His friends were wrong. They had it all pegged, you know. Theology is often wrong. How many know that people's theology can be wrong? It's just talk, 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 words, words, words. You know, doctrines, concepts. But reality is more powerful. A lot of times people will say stuff, but their life says another stuff. We listened last night to some people at Lou's birthday party. And we had one guy saying one thing and another one saying another thing and another person saying another thing. And they all had a point of view. And one was, you know, all you need is faith. And the other one was, I think you ought to have works to go along with it. Another one was, you know, well, all I know is I need to know that God loves me. You know, and they all had different views, and they were all, you know, struggling to beat the other one down with their view. Linda, you were listening in. You didn't stay too long. It was good. It was great. I mean, I was enjoying myself. Huh? Yeah, Eric, he was there. But it was good because each one was wrong and each one was right. I mean, you know, but, you know, they were all passionate about it, you know. Well, I don't think you need to know anything about the love of God. I think all you have to do is, you know, stick to your teaching. And whether it comes or not, doesn't matter. I think you have to have real evidence and fruit and so on. So they each argued their point. Religious people are crazy because they you know, they're talking love, but they're hating one another, judging one another. Christians are phony. You ever notice that? And you know, I'm not saying they weren't all sincere. I think they were quite sincere. But also, it's like, you know, when it's all said and done, is this really the truth? Are we really getting deep at the truth? Testing is what makes truth real or not real, not talk. You have to be tested. If a person can actually make it, there's something powerful going on. It wasn't just luck or chance or whatever. It's not easy to be blessed in this world. It requires a choice on your part. It isn't just God. God will come through. Well, not exactly. Or I'll make it on my own. Probably not. You can't say you made it on your own. You can't say God just gave it to you. There's some kind of a relationship that goes on there where you're part of it, but yet you give God the glory, where he did it all, and yet you actually agreed. There was some relationship there, not just performance on your part or his part. God isn't just willy-nilly. And Job was about to move from performance to relationship. I don't know how you are, but you got to have a relationship with God. It's one thing I noticed last night in listening. I was listening to say, which one is in love with the Lord personally, intimately, and which one is just defending a point of view? You know, just defending their system or their concept or whatever. I'm right. Here's why I'm right. Who's loving? Where is the compassion, the passion, not just to be right, to perform, but actually to build up, to strengthen, to encourage? A lot of times when people talk, they give themselves away. You hear where they are, but sometimes their talk is really not where their life is. You ever notice that about people? Sometimes their talk is big and boastful, but their walk is different. Or sometimes their talk is very honest and it looks like they don't have anything, but actually they've got a lot of strength. You can't tell by first glance. You have to watch people over the long haul through test. That's Job, and it's your life. The reason we want to look at this, because it's your life. And let's hope Rick is right, that Jesus suffered for all of us. Certainly spiritually, but I think you also must go into the fire, personally. And so if you're going to go in, you might as well learn ahead of time how to go through the fire, how not to get burned when you're going through the fire, how not to be destroyed, overwhelmed when you're going under the flood. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You want to find out if those are words or whether there's a real God behind that. Otherwise, it's just talk. So you want to find out, could I really rejoice all the way through life? Could I really expect that God doesn't want me, you know, poor, sick, and all alone, hated? Does God really want us to experience some kind of heaven on earth before we die, while we're alive? Does he? I think so. I think he wants our marriages. I think he wants our bank accounts. I think he wants our health to be in line with heaven. Not perfect like Job. Job got tested. There has to be kind of a humility here that it's all God. And yet, it's all God, but yet I'm involved too. I'm real too. God has, if he really loves me, then he's got to love me as I am, not as I ought to be, not as I should be, but as I really am. If he can't stand me as I really am, he better find another world. Because deep down, I'm not a cool person. I'm not a good person deep down. If you lived with me, like my wife, you might want to get rid of me right away, because I'm not easy to live with. I'm hard to live with, actually. But I personally like myself. Even though I'm hard to live with, I think I'm a cool guy. Is anybody else stupid like I am? You know, even though I know I'm a bum and no good, I actually like myself. Because I can't imagine anyone being any different. I kind of feel like I'm probably typical, which is pathetic. It's awful. And I kind of feel like everybody else is the same. Deep down, if you scratch them deeply, we're all kind of the same. Sinners. Not really up to perfect, upright. More into, you know, not perfect, not upright. Kind of downright. You know, we're just not that cool of people. I mean, when you scratch, get underneath the clothing and the bank accounts and the stuff, and you get somebody sick in the bed, you see another side of them. You get somebody that's lost all their wealth, you see another side. So what side will we see when you're tested and done? And God's going to do that. He's going to put you through some tests. They'll be small. How many know he will never tempt you beyond your strength? He won't. If you're a child, if you're young, I'm not going to put you through some big test. He's not going to. Because God loves you. He's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to test you. He's trying to chasten you, to grow you up, to perfect you. He's not trying to destroy you. Otherwise, it's no good. I mean, anybody could put you through a test to see how weak you are. But what if he put you through a test to see if you'd get an A? I believe that God never puts you through anything except to prove that he's good, not how great you are. That was the test. I wouldn't even take the test. I'd flunk ahead of time. I'm never going to show up for the test. I already know I don't know anything. But I don't believe God will ever give you a test except he's going to prove, chasten you, to purify you, and that's why I think it's happening to Israel. I believe Israel this time, that's going to be worse than the Adolf Hitler baloney. It's going to be tough on them. They got enemies galore. And Israel itself, even the leaders in Israel today are discouraged. Nobody is optimistic. But I believe the test is going to prove that God is faithful to them, even though they turned on him, even though they didn't do right, even though they debauched themselves, even though they destroyed so much and deserve hell. How many know the Jewish people deserve hell? You don't want to say so. Okay, they do. Because they're like us. That's the sad part. They're exactly like us. I'm just like them. And that's what I deserve. But God's not going to give you what you deserve. He's going to give you what you don't deserve because he loves you. If that's not true, you need to find out. You need to be put to the test. I say God is good. Now God has to put that to the test. So no matter what you go through, if it would be a benefit to you, let Pastor Jim get blown away. But I don't think it'd be a benefit. I hope not. I hope not. Let Pastor Jim be destroyed. Okay, I'm okay. Because I do believe I probably would make it through. Why? Because every day he's been faithful to me. It's hard for me to imagine, even if anything came up, that I would turn on. In fact, I don't think I would. I think I'm fixed. I'm already ruined by God. I like him. I think he likes me. I have that attitude, and I don't care what comes up. I'll probably say, well, you know, it worked out good. I'd make an excuse for it. In other words, I wouldn't really be beaten up by it. But some of you, when you go through the test, you get upset. So you need to go through some more tests until you learn not to get upset. Till you go, okay, I can handle it. And you know what? The minute you do that, boom, things turned around, just like Job. Immediately after Job confessed, not the sins they were talking about, but the fear he had whether God was good or not. That was his flaw. He knew God was good, but you can't tell when you're blessed whether you love him because he's been good to you or because he's really good no matter what. But when Job was done with the test, it was clear. No matter what, God is on your side. God is for you. How many know that God loves you unconditionally? Without condition. There's no condition. You don't need to live up to or do or accomplish. You just need to know God can't change. You can change. He can't. And it's his promise, Psalm 138, 8. It's his promise that anything that concerns him, he always makes it perfect. Anything that concerns him, anything that belongs to him, anything that's his, well, all you got to do is belong to him. And he purchased you. He already said, you know, I like to buy everybody here. Okay. All you got to do is agree. Okay, God, you can't just take me, but I'll agree to it. If you purchase me, you do the perfecting. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to kind of clean myself up. You want to clean me up? You do it. You want to perfect me? You do it. You want to make me like Jesus? You do it. Because I'm not cooperating. I'll be amazed. I'll stand amazed. Think, well, I didn't know I could clean up like that. But I'm not going to be the guy that does it and then give you the credit. You all understand what I just said? Don't help God out. If God is so good, let him be good. Don't be a liar. Don't be fake like Job was. Job actually had a fear in him. I don't know if God is good or not. You get that down that God is good. That's what this book is all about. God is so good that he wouldn't spare his own son. He spared Job, but he didn't spare his own son. To show you that he'll do anything he wants. You know why? You know why he did that with Jesus? Because Jesus didn't care. Jesus was confident. No, it's all right. Third day I'll rise again. Yeah, I'm going to go through the fire, but I'll just be out like that. What kind of God do you have? What is your heart saying? If God puts you through something, here's what I believe. If God puts you through something, you'll come out on the other side more pure, better, stronger, greater, more blessed. Did you hear what I just said? This is hard. I don't believe anybody can just, yeah, I believe that. No. But once you've gone through a small test and you found you come out better, then a larger one, and pretty soon the big one. And, you know, you're going to make it. You don't have to be afraid. God does not want you afraid. Psychologically, never. Spiritually, if you fear God, meaning pay attention to him. That's all. Physically, if something's coming at you, you got to be afraid. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about psychologically relax, rest, rejoice. Give thanks to God. He loves you. He's on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. No weapon fashioned against me shall prevail. On and on and on and on and on. That there are so many promises that if he lied, that's his tough luck. If he lied, I mean, he shouldn't have. Because I can't help the guy out. But I know what? I'm a liar. But he tells the truth. Okay, that's going to have to be tested. Now, once you go through the test and you realize the marriage you're in is okay. I mean, no, the marriage you're in is okay. You know, don't get a better wife. Don't get a better husband, one more reliable. Just keep the one you've got and love her, love him as they are. Don't fix them up. Just love them as they are. How many know that the one you're in love with, not perfect? The one you're in love with, it can be hell at times. How many know that it's not perfect? You know, that's the way relationships are. They're made of real people that are not God. They're just simply people. You're a people, they're a people. You're flawed, they're flawed. Your parents are flawed, everybody's flawed, 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 flawed. But God is good, and God will put you in a relationship, and I don't care how you got there. Just relax. All right, let's say you didn't, and you got out. Okay, you got another chance to go through it again. You can learn it. You know, my mom went through several times, my grandmother, and you know, everybody in my family is divorced all over the map. If that had worked, the family would be better off. There's still a mess. It doesn't help anything to move to the other side of the fence. The grass is just as, you know, brown on that side as it is over here. You know, you'll eat it up in a few minutes and it'll be gone. So, you know, don't worry. Where you are is fine because you have a God who answers prayer, who loves you unconditionally. I don't care where you are. Don't feel guilty. It doesn't help anything anyway. God's not impressed with it. Don't feel guilty and don't change. Let him do it all. Let him do it all. He claims to be God. Let him prove it. If you go through the fire and he's not with you, he's not God. He said he'd be with you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay, I'm gonna rely upon that. Why? Well, I don't have a choice. I could rely upon myself. That would be stupid. I could rely upon y'all. That would be stupid. I could rely upon what? So I put all my reliance on God. I like his story. I believe the story. It's a good concept. It's a good idea. But I've tried it. It's working. This is something powerful. God expects you to challenge him, test him, put him to the test. It's not really Job that's being tested. It's God. It's not Job that's being tested. It's God. Let's see what kind of a God he has. The devil wants to tempt him, test him, destroy him, accuse him, put him down. But God has promised whatever belongs to him, he'll perfect it. I believe Job was perfected. Maybe the little flaw he had of fearing something was small, but actually it turns out to be big. The thing that you fear will always come upon you. I'm going to say it again. The thing that you fear will always come upon you. Oh my God, I hope I don't go insane. You will. I hope I don't ever, you know, get old and get crippled like her. You will. I hope, you know, whatever it is you fear, it can come on you. And that's what he feared. He feared that, boy, this is exactly what I was fearing. It's happened to him. It's now what's he going to do? Okay, so as a phony, he worshiped God the first day. But you'll see a few days later, he changes his mouth. Then the Bible will say, and in all that he did, Job didn't sin with his mouth. Kind of a little bit of a little comma there, with his mouth. In other words, at first it looked like it was from his heart. But sometimes religious people look phony. And then after a while, it became clear. No, just from his mouth. A lot of you are Christians with your mouth. You need to be Christians with your walk. That is, you really need to be happy all the time. You really need to be at peace all the time. You really need to have heaven on earth all the time. Is that possible? Yeah. But only through fire. You're not going to learn obedience through just, you know, being an average guy. You have to go through the furnace. Do you trust God? You have the only God that can rescue you in the furnace. If he doesn't rescue Israel, he's a liar. If he doesn't rescue you, he's a liar. There's no way you can show mercy to Israel unless you've been through the furnace and come out purified. I believe God is good. I know he is. I'm certain of it. I've put my whole life on the line for that. that there is no bad situation. I deliberately go to every bad situation in the world. I deliberately go where it's dark, where it's hopeless, where there's no possibility, only to see whether God is real or not. If he can work in South Africa, he can work anywhere. If he can work in Mozambique, he can work anywhere. If he can work in Russia, he can work anywhere. If you go to India, and that's why I go to all those places, just to see whether God is good. The story of Job. It's a great story about a man who is real moral, real good, real religious, perfect. And yet, there was something that wasn't quite perfect. But God perfected him. It's a beautiful story. It's a story about Jesus. As Rick said, when you go through it, you're not going to be a nice guy. When you go through it, you're going to complain and gripe and yell and scream. But you remember, Jesus went through this for me. Therefore, I'm not alone. God is with me. Anything you go through, God's got a good design for it. You'll not come out weaker. You'll come out stronger. You'll not come out dumber. You'll come out wiser. You're not going to come out poorer. You're going to come out richer. You're going to come out stronger. Problems do not destroy us when we have a God. They actually strengthen us. Amen? It's what you were created to be. You're not like a turtle. You're not like a grasshopper. They don't have choices. You have choices. You can either believe or not believe. You can either obey or not obey. And sometimes we do the wrong choice. Sometimes we do the right choice. But over the years, you learn, hey, you know what? I believe God wants me to be like him. And I don't know how to make myself like that. God, could you do it? And his answer is absolutely. I must, because you belong to me. You've trusted me. If you put your trust in the Lord, you will never be disappointed. How many have put their trust in the Lord? I mean, put your trust in the Lord. I don't mean like, I put my trust. I mean more like, no, I put my trust in him. I can't do it. I've tried. I've done a lot, but not enough. So I'm putting my trust in him. It's not some big thing on my part. It's more just, no, I can't trust anybody else. That's why I've done it. I've tried everything else, and I'm not strong enough, smart enough, good enough. And I don't believe other people are. So I put my trust in him. The devil says you won't make it. God says you will. I believe you will be perfected, not only in heaven, but even here. Even here, you'll be perfected. You'll be blessed. The world needs to see it, not hear it. See it, not hear it. See it, not hear it. Story of Job. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you that this is a great story in the Bible, deliberately put there, embarrassingly inserted in there, one to skip over easily. But I thank you that it's there, and you have told me this year to stay right here in this book. And it won't drive everybody away. If we look at a book that's dealing with the realities we face every day but try to ignore, but we will actually be enriched and blessed, because when we come through, we will be more wise, powerful, strong, peaceful, happy, blessed. So we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. Chad? What do you do?
Well, I guess the announcement is we're going to pass the offering plate, so empty your pockets. It's not your money anyway. And then we're a little behind on some of our tapes, but we're going to try to get caught up here and get those out.
We'll end the way we started.
When the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, I will dance as David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, I will dance as David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance as David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance as David danced.